So on the line, Sheila Simon, Lieutenant Governor, and, of course, candidate for Comptroller of the State of Illinois. First off, Sheila, morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Well, I'm wondering more accurately, how are you? I mean, you've been all over the place. I mean, I get your updates regularly from your campaign, of course, mm-hmm. and through the state. And all I know is that, can you take that mileage off as a deduction? Or?
You know, we haven't even been keeping track of the miles because I think it would scare me to see how much I've been driving all over the state. But, yeah, between a little bit of sleep and a little bit of Mountain Dew when needed, I've got plenty of juice to go all the way to next Tuesday.
Yeah, one of my favorite motivators. Mountain Dew.
Exactly.
It's a tried and true item. There have been some pretty serious discussions recently between you and Judy Bartapinkin. You know, the one that attracted my attention was the discussion between the two campaigns on Judy Barr's prioritizing of paying bills in the state of Illinois. That caught my attention.
Mm-hmm. And that's a serious issue. You know, the not everyone pays attention to the comptroller's race, but it really does keep things going in terms of paying the state's bills. And everyone knows we pay our bills late. In fact, we pay our bills so late that sometimes people need to be scooted to the front of the line to get their payments so that they won't literally have to close the doors for, you know, small nonprofit agencies or small businesses in the state. Right now, that process takes place really in the dark, behind closed doors. There's no standards for who gets an expedited payment, and there's no transparency in terms of who's asking for those payments and who's getting them. And, you know, let's be realistic. We live in the state of Illinois with a history of corruption. As Illinoisans, if we can't see what's going on and how the decisions are going to be made, we often assume the worst. The answer is that it's really easy to say, here are the standards. Here's when we grant an expedited payment, and here's the list of who's asking, and here's the list of who's getting. Make it all up front, and not only can we assure people we're granting those expedited payments based on fairness rather than clout, but we know that the system is working for those who it needs to work for.
You know, the item that, and I've been saying this all last week, that if I thought this election in Illinois, the state election in Illinois, was going to be about anything, it was going to be a referendum about pension payments and our pension backlog.
Mm-hmm.
It has been about money, but not proportionally in any sense to the debt and pensions. And I really thought that was going to be a referendum on that very issue this year.
You know, it's interesting. I think there was a lot of attention paid to pensions as the legislature worked out a compromise, as it has been challenged through a series of actions in court. But I think you're right. I think a little bit less attention has been paid to pensions. We're trying to make sure that people focus on that a little bit more. And look in part at the root of the problem. Part of the problem has been historical over-promising, making promises that we can't live up to. My opponent, Judy Bartapinkin, has been a part of that. When she was in the legislature, she voted for a bill that allowed legislators to earn more in pensions than they ever had in their salary while working, if they had been in the legislature for a very long time. And she took advantage of that during her four-year retirement before she ran for comptroller. So I think it's an issue in my campaign. I think it's one of those things that distinguishes me and my opponent. I'm not making everyone happy because I'm not saying we can do things that we can't do, but I think that's a little bit more, I think that's the track we need to take to move forward as a state to acknowledge.
You were going to say realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people get that. But here's the thing. Sheila, are we just kind of, you know, it's like the conversation in Carbondale about panhandling. You've seen this in the newspaper, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, you know, there are some uncomfortable facts. And we very often, and I think it's our survival gene because we're just barraged with bad news. And I think we just turn our head just a few degrees so that we can mm-hmm. not have to look and don't know too much because you just don't want to be – it's onerous. You just don't want to be around it, and you're fatigued for it. And that part of this is one of the things that bothers me. Not that this is a conversation about panhandling. It's about human nature going, oh, man, mm-hmm. this is so big. I can't – nobody can straighten this out. No one person can.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, that we have a tendency, we would rather say, I'll let someone else deal with that, that problem about how we can have a sustainable pension plan as a state. But boy, the record of saying we'll let someone else make those decisions has not served us well. Historically, the state, the legislature and the governor, over decades, so we're not talking about anything that's even partisan, but there have been promises made that couldn't be sustained. There have been payments skipped, and it's all sort of that short-term immediate gratification rather than looking at the long-term, which is what we do in our own family budgets, right? we don't just say what's going to feel good today. We're going to say, what do I need to have saved in order to pay the property tax bill? What do I need to be saving along the way to make sure that my kids can go to college?
But Democrats in the state of Illinois.
Our own budget, but not in the state as often as we should.
Yeah, but Sheila, the Democrats in Illinois said, well, you know, we'll kind of do this and we'll kind of do that. And by the way, we'll need a tax extension. I mean, promises have been made. And not a lot of those expectations have been met. This is one of my new things I'm going to kick on. We had an expectation, and we're given multiple assurances because me being a cynical, jaded individual, I mean, I pressed people on that tax, that temporary tax. I pressed them hard, and they looked me right in the eyes, and they said, look, this is how it's going to, and this is how we assured it was going to happen in the legislation itself. And then the prospect of it being continued, because here's the thing: you and I, you come from a county where you've got union's not one of the worst, but we've got 10%, 10.6, 10.7% unemployment, and then the state government says, you know, we're going to need some more money, and we're going to need more money longer than what we told you before. And when people, well, it's part of the reason why we look away, or the other option, you get mad. And I think that's where the taxpayer and the voter, that's where their mind is.
And I think that maybe that first reaction of getting angry is maybe a fair starting place. Darn and disappointed that things have not turned out better than they have, but it can't be the ending place. It can't be I don't like it. Therefore, I'm just going to vote for something or someone different. I think the question has to be, okay, things didn't turn out in an ideal way. What's going to get us or who's going to get us to a better place? That's what the process of voting ought to be about. And I think that's how most people regard it. And that's kind of why this is an exciting time. You know, I've run into more and more people all the time when I'm out campaigning who will say, hey, I've already voted for it. Early voting is just it's a great thing. And it gives lots of people the opportunity to make an informed judgment, to take a look at the ballot early, to ask friends, and relatives and coworkers, who are you voting for and why, and to really, shape where our state is going to go.
All right. Well, I got to wrap this up, but I don't want this to get away from us for a couple of moments. Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simons joining us this morning, Office of Comptroller, Democratic Party, seeking election, of course, this coming, not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday. You know, I envision the treasurer. See, and the treasurer used to be the person I envisioned as the checkbook in writing. Well, you and I both know that's not the case. They're just looking over the reserves and investments and what the state owns. All right, but over here you've got the comptroller who does have the checkbook in a very real sense for this state of Illinois about when coming bills and the day-to-day operation. She's not down here with a 10-foot check signed Judy Bartapinka for CASA. She's paying the bills, the electric bill, the thing that mom and dad have to do every month. Mm-hmm. And from that position of comptroller, what effect can you have?
Well, I think obviously you need to get the job done in an ethical way. You need to make sure that you're paying bills according to the laws and according to need and not according to clout or something else. So that's the first thing, is to get that job done well and done in a highly ethical manner. The second thing is, though, that when you've got the state's checkbook in your hand, you're you're not just paying the bills. You are the person who has the most information about where our state's money is going. And because of that, you have the opportunity to get people engaged in making decisions about where the money should be going, to calling attention to things where we're not spending our money wisely, to engaging the media in examining more closely things that are questionable. The comptroller's position has some basic responsibilities, but then opportunities to do so much more, and that's where I think the current comptroller is not using so many of those opportunities to do more in terms of informing local government about how their spending matches up with a benchmark for other local governments.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, when it comes to this, and you talk about the ethics of this. I had someone come to the office who was completely distraught. They service healthcare young children with learning disorders, autism, and she's broke. She's got employees. She's treating children, and she's distraught. She's broke. There isn't it. Now, this has been a while back when things were even worse.
Right.
And she says, you know, and I can't get food stamps. You know, and you know what they told me when I asked when my check is and that I couldn't feed my kids? You know what they told me? Go to the church. They'll give me some food. And when you've got state services like that that are being that the state of Illinois suggests you go to a food bank.
Yeah.
While your own, you owe so much money, and then the person in front of you is, you know, they're using their food stamps, and, you know, and you're sitting there going, well, like ramen noodles? And so I picked up the phone. I called Governor Quinn myself, and he answered, which is great. And he says, well, all right, have him call here and here. There is prioritizing, but I don't think it's a matter of waiting in line. You've got people who are really getting, I mean, who are they're going to lose stuff at this point. And there's got to be a way to prioritize this, I would think, because there is a need out there in some of these Southern Illinois contract labor. Would that be the right word?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
they really got the squeeze put on them.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, Tom, is I think our system ought to work without that person having to know you and you having to call the governor. I think the system ought to work for people who don't have contacts and connections, and it ought to work in a regular way that everyone from the outside looking in can say, aha, I see how those payments are being made. I see that that's fair. It's maybe not being paid as quickly as anyone would like because we're in a pinch financially as a state, but I can see that they're doing it in a way that is calculated to be fair to everyone, whether they have clout or not. That's the kind of system I'm interested in building in the comptroller's office. That's one of the reasons why I'm running.
Mm. Hey, Sheila, it's always good to talk to you.
Hey, Tom, talk with you soon. I hope to see you soon in Southern Illinois. Yay.
Yeah. You've already voted, though, right?
No, I'm going to be voting on Election Day in Carbondale.
I was thinking about going here sometime this week. Because I know there, you know, there's one thing, and I'm curious about this. I got Joe in here to do the news, but this is me, just me and you shooting the breeze. We're on the air, but we're shooting the breeze here for a second.
Yes, understood.
I very often feel that Southern Illinois has been largely marginalized, and one of the reasons why is there's not a lot of people. Okay, I get that, but we also have this really small percentage turnout in voters, and I'm thinking, you know what, Southern Illinois, world would change if we went from 17 and 22% voter participation to 78 or 81% voter participation. The world of Southern Illinois would change if we cared to speak in a consistent, unified manner. And I'm not talking about vote or Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about go through two election cycles where 80% of registered voters show up, and I think Southern Illinois would see a different kind of response out of Springfield. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. There are folks in the Chicago area who will advertise the turnout rate in their region, and that's why they tell elected leaders, pay attention to me. I turn people out. I turn out the voters. We could change our political power that way. I think the way we redistrict in the state of Illinois has an impact on that. Right, our congressional district that we're the way we identify as a region, as Southern Illinois, as Deep Southern Illinois, is not the way we're carved up for congressional representation.
Yeah.
And that has an impact. That's a little bit discouraging. We can have another talk sometime about improving our redistricting process so that we are more often in a community of folks who identify the same way as a way to build political power.
Only if you promise to read the new paper out of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute by Kent Redfield, the University of Illinois, in redistricting.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. You want to see some collective panties pulled down, that's the paper to pick up and read.
It's, you're a star.
It's 8:41, 19 before the hour.